handout, sermon outline, little booklet when you came in. If you didn't get one, you'd like to take notes with it, raise your hand. The ushers will make sure you get one. We've been looking at building marriage right from time to time, and this will be the final message in this series. I have a couple of things that I want to say, but I'll probably do this summer to add to this, but this is basically the final message in this particular series. You know, Pentecost Sunday wound up being on Mother's Day this year, and so it's kind of a thing. What do? I decided to go ahead and honor the moms that day, and we'll do Pentecost Sunday. We'll celebrate that sometime later this summer. Something to look forward to. But as Pentecostals, we don't need just to talk about it once a year anyway. It comes as a common theme throughout Sunday school and preaching of the word and things like that anyway. So we don't want to just realize that it's a one-time or one-year annual event, but it's something that needs to be in our heart on a daily basis. Most of the messages in this particular series, Building Marriage Right, have been able to apply to all kinds of relationships, not just marriage. Today it's a little more focused as we look at parenting, parenting as a team. And you say, well, I'm a single parent. Well, I have some things in here to help you as well. And the rest of you, listen in, take notes. Who knows when you might be able to help somebody else with some of these things. And I might have a word for you as well. So let's start out with Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 20. Scripture says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Stay in Proverbs. Turn over to chapter 27, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I would like you to just think about that today in the marriage relationship, how that can work even there. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his wife, or his wife can sharpen the countenance of her husband. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. Lord, that we may be able to apply these truths to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we might be wondering, why are we talking about parenting in a marriage context? I think it's a proper topic, an important topic for us to discuss, because good marriages and good parenting do go hand in hand. And if there's anyone here today and you've gone through the pain of divorce, I am not trying to pour salt on any open wounds or anything like that. I just know from observation and from what counselors tell us that your children go through times of incredible grief, which can last for years. And I sympathize with you, and my heart goes out to you if you found yourself in that kind of situation. Or if you're a single mom, single dad here today, my heart goes out to you. It would be extremely difficult. It's tough parenting with two. I can't imagine what it would be like doing it by myself. Sometimes, though, moms and dads call it quits, and they justify their decision by saying, well, it's better for the kids. But you know that even secular experts now say that this kind of thinking is wrong. It's flawed. And they say that from a kid's perspective, a good divorce is worse than a bad marriage. And so I want you to think about these things. And I want you to think today about how you can improve your relationship and at the same time then bring security into the hearts and lives of your children. But how can we get parenting right? First thing that we can do is that spouses must show their love for each other. You might ask, well, what does that have to do with successful parenting? The answer is everything. The quality of the love relationship between a husband and wife, especially its visibility, has a great deal of influence on how the kids turn out. I think that's why Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 28, he actually commands us, husbands, love your wives. And love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a tall order. But the command is there, husbands, love your wives. And in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, wives are commanded to love their husbands. Now, this kind of love is not just a feeling kind of love. This kind of love is something that we need to demonstrate visibly with our actions as we embrace one another as spouses. But instead of a visible love, if there is an open hostility between parents, it makes our children feel very insecure. But if the relationship between the husband and wife is strong, if it's characterized by noticeable devotion, even if you can laugh at each other's jokes, you can enjoy each other's presence, you can display affection, then your children feel safe and secure. And it's really true that children need to know that their parents love each other and that they are committed to each other. One of Rodney Dangerfield's comedy routines, he once said, "My wife and I sleep in separate rooms. We have dinner apart. We take separate vacations. We're doing everything we can to keep our marriage together." Can I tell you that's not the way to go about it? You need to be spending time together. You need to be doing things together and doing enjoyable things together. Your children need to know that mom and dad have something special going on. You know, have you ever kissed your spouse in front of your child or done something and they kind of get acting embarrassed? "Oh, mom. Oh, dad. You know, cut that out." They really like that kind of thing. They do. They might tease you about it. They might make fun of you a little bit, but they like to see that happen because it builds security. They need to know that mom and dad have something special and that their marriage is solid. And that's something that can remain stable for them in an unstable world, in a fallen world such as ours. I'm reminded of a story of a man in Phoenix, advanced in years and feeling honorary one day, picked up the phone and called his son in New York and said, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you, your mother and I are getting a divorce. Neither of us can go on together. 45 years of this misery is enough." "Dad, what are you talking about?" his son sounded crushed. "We can't stand the sight of each other any longer, son. And besides, you and your sister are adults now, so there's no reason for us to stay together. Matter of fact, I'm tired of talking about it, so you can tell your sister in Chicago for me." With that, he abruptly hung up the phone. Frantic, the son called his sister, who immediately flew into a fury herself and shouted, "There's no way they're getting divorced. I'll take care of this." She called Phoenix, and before her dad could finish hello, she tore into him saying, "You two are not going to throw away 45 years of marriage just like that. You are not getting a divorce. Now don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be home tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" Without waiting for an answer, she slammed the phone down. The old rascal of a dad hung up the phone, turned to his wife and said with a smile, "Both children will be home for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own way." The story shows that even though the children were adults, they still had the need to have mom and dad love each other. and to be together. And if we could see, our children could see that we love each other in spite of disagreements, then they know that we will love them with the same kind of unconditional love that we have for our spouses. In her book, Growing a Family, Where People Really Like One Another, Karen Dockery writes, "Spirituality is showing love when you feel like attacking, joy when you'd rather whine, peace when you'd rather argue, patience when you'd rather demand, kindness when you'd rather be cruel." And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, as moms, as dads, are we showing the love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness? Are we demonstrating to them the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? By the way, another factor of this parenting principle is this: the way we relate teaches our kids how to relate. The way that we relate to each other teaches our kids how they are will relate. And when husbands and wives can react in a loving way, then their children will be more likely to relate to each other and to their peers throughout life in a loving way. So we set the example by the love that we have for each other. So first of all, spouses must love each other. Secondly, spouses must show that they love God. And again, you say, what does that have to do with parenting? And again, I would reply, everything. Because the quality of the relationship that we have with God will influence our children's spiritual development. Moms, dads, our children are watching us to see if we really live out our Christianity. They want to see, do we apply the teachings of Christ to our own lives? They notice how often we apply the teachings of the Bible to our daily life. They emulate what they see. A recent study indicated that if both mom and dad attend church regularly, 72% of their children do so when they grow up. If only the dad attended, 55% remained faithful to the church. If only mom attended, only 15% did so. If neither mom or dad attended church regularly, only 6% of their children continued to be active in church later on in life. And these are just studies. I'm not saying that it has to be this way. I know a lady who raised 8 children by herself. Basically, her husband never attended church, was an ungodly man, but to this day, all 8 of her children are in full-time Christian work. Some are pastors, some are missionaries, some are married to pastors, missionaries. It doesn't have to be this way, but this is the way it tends to go. Paul Harvey once said, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. And while some may say that statement is too harsh, here's a statement that's probably more difficult to debate. If you don't live it, your children won't believe it. So if we want our children to live lives that please God and honor Him, we have to have a deep faith in God ourselves. But not only do we need to have the faith ourselves, we need to model it. There were some gold prospectors who discovered an exceptionally rich vein of gold. One of them said, hey, we've got it made. As long as we don't tell anybody else where we stake our claims. So they each vowed that they would keep this secret to themselves. They would tell nobody else where their gold was. When they ran out of provisions, they headed for town. After buying all the supplies they needed, they hurried back to the mine site. But interestingly, they weren't alone. A crowd of people had followed along behind from town, in spite of the fact that they all kept their promise. Not one of them told anybody else where their claim was. When asked how they found out, the townspeople said, we could see it on your faces. As excited as those gold miners were, they learned that what happens on the inside shows on the outside. And so the question for us as parents is What's happening on the inside of us, is it showing on the outside? Are we letting our children know that God is working in our lives and this is how He's working? Does your relationship, your love relationship with God, does it show? You know, I think of Moses all the time as he came down from the mount after being in the presence of God. Nobody had to tell the Israelites that Moses was in the presence of God because his face shone. Everybody knew it. There needs to be something about us that is external that shows that Christ is on the inside and He's changing us and He's working in our lives, and there is truths that are transforming us from the inside out. Telling your kids to pray is not enough. We must pray with them. Telling our children to read the Bible is insufficient. We have to read it with them and talk to them. Ask them, what did you get out of that? What did you get out of the passage? What did you get out of what you read today? Did God speak to you? Is there any verse that stood out in your heart? And as Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7 teaches us, that we are to be constantly, continually teaching the commands of God to our children. And he says, when we lie down at night, when we wake up in the morning, when we walk by the wayside, what it's really saying is, whatever we do, whatever we're doing, using all of life as a learning process, taking advantage of life situations to teach our children. The day will come when all too quickly they will be out on their own. Happens sooner than you think. My little Daniel just turned 12 this last week. Could not believe it. Unbelievable. Time passes fast. He's not so little. Three little boys were playing. They got into one of those "my dad is better than your dad's" type fight. One little boy says, "My dad knows the mayor of our town." The other boy says, "That's nothing. My dad knows the governor of our state." Third little boy says, "I can top all that. My dad knows God." When our children say, "My dad knows God." See, it's unlikely that our children will want to follow God unless we do. So, spouses, we have to love each other. Secondly, we have to love God. And number three, we must work together with God in providing direction. We must work together with God in providing direction. How can we work together with God? How can we come into this partnership? How can we parent as a team and include God? One of the things that we can do is just pray together. Pray for unity of spirit. Mom and dad can't be divided. A house divided against itself will not stand. Pray for understanding of each other's strengths and apprehensions. Each of the marriage partner has their own strengths. They have also their own fears. Pray for clarity of thought and ability to concentrate. Pray for spiritual perception. Because sometimes the things that, you know, and I think this is probably true, the thing that we want to do with our children is usually the wrong thing. I've noticed that, you know, the times I want to spank my children? It's when they get under my skin. When I'm upset with them and angry with them, that's when I want to spank them. But, you know, that's not the time to spank them. The time to spank them is after you calm down and you've worked through all of your emotions, and then to discipline them and chasten them at that time. So pray that you can have spiritual perception. What is the spiritual thing to do in this situation? And then not only pray together, but examine how spiritual gifts influence each parent's perspective. Y'all have a different perspective on things. And then understand the scriptural concepts of the Father's commandment and the mother's law in giving direction. The spiritual concepts of the Father's commandment and the mother's law in giving direction. Just as Christians have the responsibility to be the light of the world, we saw these children up here today with their lights, letting their light shine, And just as we all have that responsibility to let our light shine before this world, we especially have a responsibility to and an obligation to give light to our children. And the light of the parents is biblical teaching and daily instruction, which will direct the children in their early years, but then guide them throughout all of life. And the Bible has some very precise examples in explaining how each parent is to function in the training process. There are scriptural responsibilities that are given to the mother and scriptural responsibilities that are given to the father. And there are limitations that are given to the mother and there are limitations that are given to the father. When these are understood and carefully followed, then you can avoid conflicts, and the proper instructions that your children need to have can be enforced and reinforced. Remember those verses that we read at the beginning? Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Within the analogy of a lighted lamp, there's a wealth of practical direction for the parents here. I would not have time today to exhaust all of the analogies that we could come up with, and I couldn't even come up with all the analogies. I think if we took the time this morning, all of us could have unique perspective on the analogy of the lamp here in giving light. But let me just mention a few things here. The lamp pictures the commandments of the Father. The lamp pictures the commandments of the Father. That lamp there in Proverbs 6:23 was a small clay container filled with oil. A wick was added to the lamp, which drew the needed resources in order to produce light when it was lit. But just as that lamp needed and required continuous filling with oil, so the Father must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that requires continuous action. And then the vessel was kept clean. And in order to be the brightest, it had to be, and the most efficient, it had to be kept clean. When fragrance was added to the oil, there was a sweet savor that permeated throughout the entire house. But just as the wick could not function without the lamp, the lamp could not function without the wick. So the father and mother are to demonstrate oneness in teaching and disciplining their children. The lamp was placed in a higher plane. Jesus talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount, putting a candlestick, putting the light in a candlestick so they could give light to all that were in the house. But as that light is extended, the more people are benefited by it. Isn't that true? If you have just a little light down here, it's not going to go out as far. But if we could elevate the light, more people would be benefited from that light. But as the Father grows and is elevated spiritually, as the Father grows to spiritual maturity in his life, he is able to provide clear commands for his wife to teach the children. The lamp was the foundation and support of the light, just as the father must assume the greater responsibility in the marriage and for the family. A lamp was often made of clay and subject to breakage. Dads, you continue to have your strength by the grace of God. And I tell you, a wise father will avoid careless actions and foolish habits, which will weaken or damage his body. The darker the night, the more essential the lamp, the more difficult the situations faced by a family, the more vital the need for the Father's commands. So the lamp of the Father is a command. The lamp is the commands of the Father. The light pictures the law of the mother. The light of a candle provides illumination so everyone within its range can see clearly how to carry out his responsibilities. The brighter the light, the greater the illumination. The light of the candle, the light of a lamp is fragile. Moms are the fragile. They're the weaker vessel. You know, the light of that lamp could be blown out by a sudden gust of wind. It could be extinguished by those around it. It could be snuffed out, or it could be covered. So here's how it works out. When the Father gives a biblically based command, it's the responsibility then of the mother to work out the guidelines so that this objective can be fulfilled. It's the mother who lays down the laws. We already heard that, right? She really laid down the law. That's scriptural. That's what the mom does. She lays down the laws. She makes the rules. She makes the father's wishes happen. She makes his commands happen. The mother tends to be more alert to details. Oh, wait, we need to back up. The father and mother work together in giving light. The father and the mother work together in giving light. Even though they have different responsibilities in family training, there's this need for them to communicate with each other so that they can gain proper perspective and wise counsel. The mother tends to be more alert to details and to immediate consequences. On the other hand, the father is more alert to attitudes and long-range objectives. And so, husbands and wives, mom and dads, come together, discuss, pray, counsel with each other so that each one can sharpen his or her own perspective and help their partner see the situation through their perspective. Ever sat down with somebody and when you got done, you said to yourself or maybe to them, you know, I'd never seen it that way before. Ever happened to you? Because we have different perspectives. And that's why mom and dads need to discuss things. That's how they work together, because one have a different perspective. I mean, Debbie has said things to me, and I know I have said, I never thought of it that way. Never saw that before. Never understood that like that. Now, before our husbands just go around giving commands, it would be very wise of you to ask your wife what she thinks about the command before you give it. And then work with her to come up with the parameters in which she can design her laws, her rules. You know, husbands should not, you have to come to this mental conclusion that you will not intrude into your wife's area of responsibility. Now, what happens if you're in a family without a father? What do you do? Moms, you can explain to your children that God is their father. That's scriptural. And that she will then try to clarify the commands that God has given in His Word by the laws that she makes. What if the mother is missing in the home? The father needs to obtain a woman's perspective and can gain counsel maybe by talking to his mother or sister or a godly woman in the church. But if you're a guy in this situation, you especially need to listen to your children. And learn how to ask questions that will allow them to express their feelings and their needs. You know, and guys don't like that too much. And I'm not feeling orientated. I don't really want to go there. But our children need that. Now, if we overlook the importance of laws, we cause our children to become insecure and frustrated by the lack of clear instruction and clear direction. So to sum it up, how moms and dads can work together, parent as a team, with the commandment and the laws giving light. The father's command tells what he wants done. The law explains how it is to be done. And this could open up all kinds of areas we really don't have time to go into this morning. You know, what about discipline? Well, is the child disobeying the command, or is the child reacting to the law, the rule? And so you discern that, and that has to do with then how discipline takes place and who administers the discipline. There's all kinds of wisdom in this analogy that I would just encourage you to, you know, if you want a good Bible study, you could do that as a husband and wife. Sit down, read that passage of Scripture together, and say, you know, what do you see in this? Could we come up with some points, some analogies of our own that we can make work in our family? And God will be faithful to show you exactly what that is. Now, remember I said that if we don't attend church, and if we're not excited about serving God, our children probably won't either. And you're sitting here this morning, you might be thinking, you know, none of this has applied to me. I don't have any children in the home anymore. Can I tell you that there are a bunch of spiritual children in this place that are looking to you? And if they need to see the excitement in God's people as they live for Christ. Sometimes people have been influenced by others that had nothing to do with their mother or father, but there's somebody in the church that influenced them. Somebody took them under their wing, or somebody spoke a word to them and encouraged them. And you never know how far a word of encouragement will go with somebody. You just really don't know. And so I would challenge all of us to check our own life and say, you know, are we lighting the flame of the gospel like we need to be lighting it? If people are really following my example, am I setting the kind of example that I want them to follow? Am I really devoted to God, not just outwardly, but inwardly as well? And is God doing a work in my heart that is being demonstrated to all who come in contact with me? If He's not, I would ask you today to say, Lord, would You do a work in my heart? Would You do a work inside of me that will be displayed on the outside? People will know that I am wholeheartedly following You and that I love You with all of my heart. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? If the ladies could come back to the instruments, and George, if you would come, and I'd like us just to sing one more song before we leave here today at moments like these. You know that one, right? We sing out a love song to Jesus, and that's what I'd like us to do. But if you're here today and you're sensing that God is speaking to your heart, maybe something about parenting, or maybe it has nothing to do with parenting, but it just has to be setting an example for children in this church. God is speaking to your heart. Would you just have a moment here of quiet conversation with Him? Just take a moment to surrender. Lord, today we surrender to Your will. We surrender to Your ways. Lord, I pray today that if there's any couples that are here today who don't have unity when it comes to their children, Lord, today that You would give them a spirit of oneness. Lord, that You would give them a spirit of unity. Lord, that You would draw them to Yourself, that they would love You. And that, Lord, You would then in turn help them to love each other and to draw closer to each other. I pray, Lord, that we would help us to surrender to Your ways, that we would work together with You in the building of our house and the raising of our families. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.